Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets. We're also the official Dolphins content provider here of finfanatic.com and the Fansided Network as well. We are 19 days away from the NFL draft. We're continuing with our position by position breakdowns for the Dolphins here. And we've gone through quarterback and interior defensive line here so far, but we're going to jump into the good stuff here today. And this weekend, we're going to do receivers and tight ends today, which is really receivers and Kyle Pitts. And we're going to do running backs here starting tomorrow. But Paul, before we get to that, and this kind of leads into what we've been, you know, what we're going to talk about here with the receivers after the top four guys, a question that I threw out there to Twitter that got a lot of attention was this. So to take a step back, there's talk out there that Washington is very, very interested and in love with Trey Lance. And they obviously picked 19th in the NFL draft. Dolphins pick 6th. I do not expect the Dolphins to trade down because they've already traded back up from 12 to 6. My question that I proposed is, would you let's say that the first five picks are Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones goes third to the Niners. I think that'll happen. A lot of people disagree. Number 4, Justin Fields to the Falcons. Number 5, Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell. They're at 5. Dolphins are sitting there at 6. Kyle Pitts is still on the board. Okay. Would you accept from Washington to move from 6 to 19 a second rounder this year, a first rounder in 2022, and a first rounder in 2023 for the swap from 6 to 19?
Hey, Dolphins fans. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, we've been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We're offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE at earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. Follow on Twitter at the Danette May and at Earth Echo Foods.
God, it would be hard to say no.
I mean, it's tough. I think if Washington's going to give up all that, they probably would have reached out to Atlanta first, trying to see if they could go up there. I'd probably take it, but it would hurt a little bit because Pitts is still on the board, and I think what a difference maker he is for this offense down the road. I know you've mentioned before about how if they use that to move on from Gesicki, it's a problem, but he also is that emergency release valve if they do have to move on from Gesicki, which we don't know if they're going to do or not yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's tough. It's very tough, and it's hard. It's weird to say that about a tight end in the top 10, but he is just such a difference-making prospect that, yeah.
If you're looking at Kyle Pitts and saying that the Dolphins could be sitting here in 5-6 years and it's having two extra first-rounders and a second-rounder still wouldn't be worth the value of trading down, I could see that being the case with Kyle Pitts, but probably only Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would think that in a situation like that, I would take the trade. I absolutely would. Very simply because I would rather have one of these second tier receivers, like Elijah Moore or Rashad Bateman, and two firsts and a second over anybody that the Dolphins take at six. But I would understand two Dolphins fans thinking, like, are we ever going to draft a top player here? And now we've moved all around and in a year with all these weapons here. Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. We didn't come away with any of them. Like, we just got more picks down the road again. So I could understand both ways. So it was very, very split when I asked that question. I didn't expect it to be that split or get that big of a reaction. So that kind of leads into what we're talking about here today, as far as really the tiers are concerned, because everyone knows who the top four pass catchers are in no particular order. Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Those are the top four guys. But a consensus is also emerging too, where it's really the top nine pass catchers that everybody's agreeing on. And that group includes in no particular order. Obviously, you've got Pitts, Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Then you've got Rashad Bateman, Terrace Marshall, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney. And then kind of a drop-off into a very, very deep receiving class here. So, Paul, looking at that top nine, I know you'd go, Lex, I'll let you take it. How would you rank those top nine guys for you?
I mean, God, it flexes all around. And what I'll say is Kyle Pitts is my clear-cut number one. And that's whether you want to call him a wide receiver or a tight end. But after that, it's Chase, Waddle, and Smith are kind of flat for me. It's really a pick your poison with them. I think I've got Ja'Marr a little bit ahead of the other two right now. So for literally this moment, I've got it Chase, Waddle, and then Smith. But if you ask me again as soon as we close the show, it may be Smith, Waddle, Chase, or Smith, Chase, Waddle. I mean, they're that close to each other, and it really depends on what you want to do. Now, what I'll say here is if you're out on Kyle Pitts or Kyle Pitts is gone, and the Dolphins are going to take one of those top three receivers, if you're looking to do what a lot of Dolphins fans want to do, and one of the things I did when I was making my list for this show is I started highlighting some of the players. If you're trying to move on from Jakeem Grant, it pigeonholes you a little bit in this receiver class to the guys that you're going to look to go after. And, you know, there's no better way at that point than to go for Jalen Waddle out of the top three.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And when it comes to Waddle, even though he might be the consensus fourth guy in this group, you know, including Pitts, he may be, as far as just immediate need and immediate fit, might make the most sense. This is the fastest player in the draft. I don't care what 40 times say. Yeah, they did GPS tracking with him, and he was the fastest guy. And you watch him, too. In the first four games of the year for Alabama, he had 25 catches for 557 yards in four games. Devontae Smith had 483 yards. So Waddle was emerging until he had the ankle injury as really the top guy there for Alabama against somebody in Devontae Smith who won the Heisman Trophy. Now, I have them ranked, these top four guys, I've got them ranked Chase 1A, Kyle Pitts 1B. I would be thrilled with either one. I still think Chase is going to go fifth to the Bengals. Then very, very close with Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. You know, one of my concerns with Devontae Smith, too, as with him coming to the Dolphins, Paul, is if you have Smith at 170 pounds, Will Fuller at 172, and you've got Devontae Parker, a clear boundary guy, who's going to be moving into the slot in that situation? I struggle with that.
Yeah, it's – I mean, you could run Fuller out of the slot, or you put Gesicki in the slot, or
Yeah, who knows on that, but it's – You know, Devontae Smith, I hesitate to talk about him a lot because I end up saying, like, arguing a point that I'm not trying to make. I think he's unbelievably talented. I've always liked him. I liked him more than Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy last year. I think he has the two skills that to me are the most important in a wide receiver, and that's route running and separation. That's how you get deep in the NFL, not just lining up and blazing the guy across from you. If that were the case, Anthony Schwartz from Auburn would be a first round pick here, but he's not going to be. And I actually think his frame as well allows him to get separation off the line quickly because he can get in and out of routes so quickly. So that's the positive of him. So, and I'm not convinced that his frame at 170 pounds is going to cause him problems at the NFL level, but I'm not convinced it won't either. When you look at the playthrough strength, when he gets into the secondary, is he going to get boxed out a little bit more easily? I saw that on a couple of plays here at Alabama. So, yeah, Waddle, I'm very close on Chase and Pitts. Then I'm very close on Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah, it's – I mean, and look, I tend to be one of those people that, while I'm a traditionalist with football, I also – am not in the way that some folks are. I think you have a limited number of people that you can't design an offense where you line them up in the slot. And I like when they put guys that shouldn't belong in places in those places and make defenses have to think and adjust. Because the moment you start making defenses think and adjust, you're starting to take the advantage away from them. You know, you've got three great receivers. You can find a way to get them on the field.
Last year we talked about T. Higgins, too, and I had him a lot lower than you did because I thought if you draft him, where are you going to put him in an offense with Parker and Preston Williams? Well, a year later, I could be thinking, well, if they had that opportunity and they could have drafted him, with one of their three first-round picks, he could have figured it out. I see your point on that. So this second group of receivers, Paul, kind of that 5 through 9 here, again, I think everybody's got kind of the same guys, in no particular order: Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney. You've got five players who are very, very, very different on there.
Yeah.
I think looking back to our top 18 boards here, looks like you've got Rondale Moore, at the top there, Rashad Bateman, and then in your final three, you've got how would you rank Terrace Marshall, Kadarius Toney?
You don't even want to try to speak to my rankings because that's so like a week ago. I mean,
well, I'll let you take it. How do you rank these guys here, and where would you stack them?
Right now, I've got it: Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, then Rondale and Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall coming in 9th. But there's a couple little asterisks there. I think that, for one, Kadarius Toney is probably the best fit for this group, only because I think guys like Kyle Pitts, Jaylen Waddle, Kadarius Toney, guy we'll talk about later, Jalen Darden, Tutu Atwell, I think they fit the mold that we're starting to see the Dolphins with Greer and Flores move towards, which isn't just a positionless defense. It's a positionless offense as well, where you can line Kyle Pitts up at H-back, tight end, slot, out wide, you know, and, you know, Jalen Waddle, you can line him up all over the formation. You can line him up outside, inside. You could probably throw him in the backfield for a few plays. You know, you name it. Kadarius Toney, you can move him anywhere. He can play boundary or interior easily. Jalen Darden's the same way, and a couple others we're going to talk about. And I think that fits the mold that the Dolphins are moving towards. Now, the other mold we've seen from the Dolphins in their draft picks over the past year or two is they take guys with high upside that haven't realized their potential yet that they think they can get the most out of with their coaching staff. And there's no one in this draft more suited to that narrative than Terrace Marshall. He has all the tools, all the skills, and really didn't show any red flags for it. Just, you know, was fighting through a crowded back or a crowded field in LSU and didn't really get his chance to shine. But when he did, he took advantage of it. So he could very easily be somebody that the Dolphins have a big red bullseye on their draft board.
Yeah, that's would be a fascinating one, because when you look at last year when the Dolphins took Austin Jackson and Noah Igbinoghene in the first round, they fit that same mold, 20 to 21 years old, no off-the-field problems, still raw and developing. Yeah, I could see that. And Terrace Marshall, to me, he's an interesting guy. He looks like Devontae Parker out there. He does. I mean, he is a good route runner for his size. But in the open field, he looks like he's running on stilts. It's funny to watch. But he took over this year. He played for seven games with LSU, 731 yards in seven games. So he really, really took over. And he didn't have Joe Burrow throwing him the ball this year. So in terms of rawness, absolutely. You know, I look at the rest of the group here. As far as the pecking order is concerned, I would have, after those first four guys, Chase, Pitts, Devontae Smith, and Waddle, I have Elijah Moore as clearly my fifth guy. And I just see special ability to separate with him right off the line of scrimmage. He may only be a slot guy. That's how he's pigeonholed. I think he could possibly play on the outside with that speed. 1,193 yards in eight games this year. So having him and Will Fuller out there speed-wise at the same time, I think could be something very, very interesting. I think you can plug him in quickly there in the slot. Rashad Bateman may have the most limited upside of this group because he doesn't really have that take the top off the defense type speed, but a very good and a very creative route runner gets separation. And that, again, that's one of the most important things. He ran a 4.39. I don't think he plays to that speed, but still a very good player. Rondale Moore I look at him. He's so different than everybody. He's like the wide receiver. He's stocky. He's 5'7". He runs a 4.29. I don't think he's a pure just burner. I think he's more of like a Steve Smith, Golden Tate type of guy with a little bit more speed to him. Only played in seven games over the last 2 years, though, too. But fascinating. But Kadarius Toney, and this is the one player I look at in this group and saying, I don't think he'll be a Miami Dolphin for a lot of reasons. I think of what the Dolphins look for in a player, and I can't see really a one-year guy, off the field issues, all into social media and everything, you know, which is fine, but, you know, he's a rapper on the side. I look at Brian Flores and I think, I just can't see him going Kadarius Toney's way.
I kind of got to differ there. I mean, look at what they just did with from Tennessee that they traded for
Isaiah Wilson.
I mean, we've seen him do it at the running back spot. You know, he gives you your chance to show that you can shine if you've got talent and you're willing to do the steps. And if not, he will punch your ass right then and there. Like, he'll walk out on the practice field and say, bye. You know, it's we've seen him give the chances to folks. And Kadarius' issue, I mean, unless I missed something, Kadarius' issues off the field aren't that horrific.
He was caught with a gun in his backseat.
Okay.
Well, and hey, look, I'm all for giving second chances too. Yeah. Not, I'm very unwilling to give third chances, but yeah, the Dolphins have shown the willingness to give second chances to Isaiah Wilson, to Mark Walton, and everything. But two things I'd argue too is, number one, those blew up in his face, and number two, they didn't spend a first round pick doing it. And I think you're going to have to do that here with Kadarius Toney. So if you get down to pick like 50 and Kadarius Toney falls, then I could see that being a possibility, because the talent is certainly unreal. I mean, just watching him break ankles this year. I mean, this is somebody that if he can put it together and put it together consistently and put the work in, yeah, there's not much doubt in my mind he's going to be a star.
Yeah, no, I you watch his tape, it's just special. I mean, I watch the wide receiver and tight end core and Florida, and I'm like, how did you guys not win the national championship? Because it's disgusting what they have at the skill positions. But yeah, no, like I would absolutely give him a second chance. I mean, you have to do your due diligence and make sure that, like, hey, you know, because who knows, stupid things happen. Some of these kids are stupid in college. It's, you know, we talk about giving Micah Parsons a second chance, and you know, if we're giving Micah Parsons a second chance, he did far worse than Kadarius Toney, and with both of those people, the talent is there. It is evident. And if they're grown up from the stupid stuff they did at 17, 18 years old, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm still not investing a first-round pick in it. If he gets down to late into the second round, which I don't think he will, then that's something that could be considered. He's more of a horizontal player too, from sideline to sideline. He can make you miss vertically. I mean, he's certainly fast enough. He's certainly fast at everything, but I don't think he's kind of the pure straight line vertical burner that like a Jalen Waddle is. So yeah, he'll be one of the more interesting stories there on draft day. Paul, you know, we've got a whole list of players here at wide receiver to kind of sort through here. So I'm curious too, taking a look here at the rest of this list, you know, after you get past, you know, let's say Elijah Moore or Terrace Marshall as the ninth guy, there's this hodgepodge. Which players have you looked at that you just can point to and say, I'm out on based on where they're projected?
I'm on Ross St. Brown. I'm not a fan for him, especially for the fit in Miami. Sage Surratt has just been disappointing to me this offseason. There's nothing huge with him, but he just, I expected a little bit more in the measurables department for him, and I just didn't see it. I know a lot of Dolphins fans are in on Diami Brown. You're basically just drafting a Devontae Parker that I feel gets less separation overall. At the NFL level, I'm out on him. And then Tamorian Terry was somebody I really expected to be a lot more in on as the draft got closer, but the wide receiver class is too good, and he's gonna be a red zone guy, maybe, if you decide you want to go five wide in the red zone.
I'll get to Diami Brown here in a minute. I've got kind of a list here. So I'm out on a few players. I'm out on Tutu Atwell, 155 pounds. No, I'm not. I can't believe I keep seeing this guy projected like in the second round. I mean, it's shocking to me. Then you've got Tylan Wallace. This is a very productive college receiver, over 3,300 yards receiving, but too much in the cons department, not enough in the pros. He's not a great athlete, didn't measure all that well. And, you know, in the Senior Bowl practices, I thought he was a noticeably poor route runner that week as well. So I'm out on him. Let's see here. We've got Seth Williams and Sage Surratt, I think, are just really contested catch guys. I think if Washington finds one of these guys in the middle rounds for Fitzpatrick, great fit, but not another contested catch guy. Wouldn't make a lot of sense. Anthony Schwartz will probably go day two. I just think he's so unnatural and raw as a receiver. I don't think he'll be able to just line up and burn people. But maybe he could take the Marquise Goodwin path where he gets in as a track guy, stays around, and then third, fourth year, really the light clicks on for him. Amir Smith-Marset as well, and from Iowa, is probably somebody I wouldn't draft. Not a lot of skills. I think he just was good at catching a lot of underneath passes at Iowa. I don't see a lot of separation, not a lot of deep speed, not a lot of yards after catch, nothing that's really going to have him stand apart. So I've chopped a lot of guys off there, and you have as well. De'Ami Brown is interesting.
Before you talk about De'Ami Brown, I just have to say I read my Tamori and Terry notes for De'Ami Brown. So I'll let you go ahead on it, but disregard my Devontae Parker comment with De'Ami.
I'll give you a comparison.
I'm still out. Don't get me wrong.
You still hate him. Okay. All right. De'Ami Brown, here's my comparison for him. James McKnight, if you remember him from the Dolphins. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he was one of the most frustrating players to watch for the Dolphins because he was great at everything that was hard to do as a receiver. He was 6'1", 200 pounds. He was blazing fast. He was great after the catch. All the difficult things. He just couldn't run routes and catch the ball on short passes. There was one year for Miami, I think he had 55 catches and
what do you have, 112 drops?
He had 3 fumbles and I think 5 drops. That is an alarming rate. And there was one against the Jets where he bobbled a screen and basically handed it off to Aaron Glenn for pick 6. But you talk about somebody here who vertically, 2 seasons in a row of 1,000 yards and over 20 yards a catch in each of 2 seasons. So he's somebody who can get deep. There's no doubt about it. He's right here on my list here. I've got him. There's so many receivers. I've got him 14th on here. In that group, one player too that I really just 2 players that I really like, Paul, quickly. Amari Rodgers, who if you love Jarvis Landry, this is kind of the reincarnation of Jarvis Landry. Great after the catch, stocky build, not blazing fast, but kind of a running back in a receiver's body. And Jalen Darden, who Mike Renner said it perfectly on him. He's everybody's sleeper in the 4th round in America.
Maybe in the 4th.
I don't think he will either. Probably a 3rd, maybe even a little higher. But and he also, the PFF said perfectly too, and I agree. The bounciness in and out of his cuts is incredible to watch. He loses no speed, 23 broken tackles and 74 catches. So, yeah, a lot of talent there with Jalen Darden.
Yeah, as I say, Jalen Darden is not as horizontally talented as Kadarius Toney, but he's more vertically talented than Kadarius Toney. And that's where I've started to pass on Kadarius a lot in a lot of mock drafts, even though I do like him and think he is worth the reclamation. And grab the Jalen Darden or even a Tutu Atwell later on, who we've talked about extensively. I mean, Tylan Wallace is one that I kind of go back and forth on whether I want him or not, even though I think he's insanely talented. I think he and Jalen Darden could probably go in the 2nd round pretty easily. He's got a very small route tree, but he does really well with that route tree that he's got. And I'm not convinced he can get off the line. I don't know. It's a tough sell there. But, again, he's got talent in spades. And if you can teach him to get off press and expand his route tree, he might be a very big steal even in the 2nd round.
2nd round, okay. I look at some of these.
I think some of these later, but he could. It's he and Darden are ones that could sneak into the top or the back end of the 2nd round.
Yeah, I thought 2nd round was possible before he didn't test very well, but you never know. Sometimes you could fall in love with one of these receivers if they fit. And yeah, he's productive. There's no doubt about that. Again, over 3,300 yards over the last 3 seasons. That's pretty good. I'd still be out on him. You mentioned Armanius St. Brown there, and his brother is Equanimeous St. Brown for the Packers. His father was a like bodybuilding champion, like Mr. Universe. He's good at everything. He's just doesn't stick out in one spot. He's his hands are fine. His, you know, he's 5'11", 197. That's passable. He was productive. He's a decent route. He's just like a B player across the board. That's pretty much what he is. But that type of guy, I think you can find. That's why I wouldn't take him probably before the fourth round. Dwayne Eskridge is fascinating because, first of all, this guy has been in college football forever. Do you remember that game where the Dolphins played the Seahawks in week one where Kenny Stills dropped that like 70-yard bomb?
Oh, yeah.
From there. Doesn't that seem like forever ago?
Yep.
Dwayne Eskridge's first college football catch was 8 days before that game.
Jesus.
He's been playing since 2016. Okay.
You're telling me he's been there since Steve Largent was catching passes for the Seahawks.
Yeah, it seems like it. He is talented, though. And you look at the Senior Bowl, I looked at all the routes run, the one-on-ones from Senior Bowl with him, and he looked like the best guy there. And there was some talent there. There's a lot of guys on this list there.
Who was our coach? Played, Philbin?
No, it was Adam Gase's first year in 2016. Oh, okay. So that was Adam Gase. Dwayne Eskridge caught his first college football pass before Adam Gase coached his first game in the NFL as a head coach.
Yeah.
Now, so he'll be almost 25 at the end of his rookie year, but he's got quite a resume. In 2019, he was a two-way player there at Western Michigan, played cornerback and wide receiver. In 2020, you know, he had – in six games, he had over 760 receiving yards, 43 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns as a receiver. And he ran routes unbelievably well at Senior Bowl week, which was supposed to be a knock on him. So he reminds me a lot of Santonio Holmes in his ability just to sit down into routes, but also get vertical and get deep as well. So he, you know, I think he's somebody because of his age and size and level of competition, maybe could be a day three guy. Maybe he could go a little bit higher. Nico Collins is somebody, Paul, I think we're higher on than a lot of other people. You know, I think he gets lumped in with the Sage Surratts and the Seth Williams, the contested catch guys, but I think there's more to him. And he is a giant perimeter receiver with, to me, underrated upside. I think you look at this group, if they were in the third, fourth round, if a star were to emerge in the Brandon Marshall mode, I think that would be Nico Collins. I mean, 4.43 40, 37 and a half vertical leap, 10.2 broad, 6.71 three cone, which is anything under 7 or 6.9 for a receiver is pretty darn good. He opted out this past year, never quite became the star at Michigan, but I think this is somebody with very, very underrated upside.
Yeah. And, you know, God, I'm going to run through a couple names that we've talked about a bunch already. You know, Shai Smith, Tutu Atwell, those are guys we've talked about a bunch already leading up to this. They're guys I absolutely love in this draft. But one guy I want to talk about real quick, and really, I know I've made no secret of this. I'm ready to move on from Preston Williams. I want a 16-game wide receiver or more. 17 games, sorry. That's going to take a little while. it's kind of like saying where the Chargers are from at this point for me.
Yep.
But, you know, really, we want a 20-game wide receiver, not a 5, 6, 7-game wide receiver, maybe. And Elijah Cooks, we're going deep on this one, out of Nevada. 6'4", 215, makes all the catches Preston Williams does, and really is just flying under the radar, A, because of the depth of the class, and B, because of where he went to school. He may let you move on from Preston Williams, because the difference is he'll make that spectacular catch, and then he'll get up from it and go back to the huddle, not the sideline. So you can move on from Preston Williams, do it late on day three, or possibly even undrafted with this guy. And if you go out and you watch footage on Elijah Cooks, he is spectacular. He makes some crazy circus catches and really doesn't have a lot of drops out there. But going to Nevada, you're not going to get your day one notice very easily, especially in a deep wide receiver class.
Yeah, it's My only thing with Preston Williams is, what would be the value in moving on from him? I mean, are you going to cut him to save $600,000? And given that he's, you know, had, you know, two season-ending injuries in a row, I don't see anybody trading for him. So that's where I struggle on. I'd rather just keep him on the bottom of the depth chart and hope that he can just get on the field at some point.
My thing with that is, if you can replace him with somebody just as talented and, you know, for just as much or less, that's going to be on your roster come December, or your active roster come December, that's my thing. Preston Williams is definitely talented, but he can't stay on the football field. So it's not about dollars and cents at that point. He's only occupying $600,000 in cap space, but you might as well just write his money down as dead cap. I don't have any faith he can stay on the field, and it's, you know, if we can only keep six wide receivers, we've got a pretty talented wide receiver room overall already that I think we're going to add to here. And I struggle with keeping that six wide receiver, because if somebody else gets hurt, you know, like, you've already got one of them's going to go down.
Williams, he may not. I mean, I think he would be battling for a roster spot because he can't play special teams. He gets hurt a lot. So, yeah, that very well could be the case. I think he'll stay on the team because I don't see the value in getting rid of him. But, it's he's not a guarantee to make the roster, especially if he loses a step he can't afford to lose. He's already not a very fast guy. He's pretty impressive. I mean, he's very impressive physically with his size. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. So it'll be interesting to see how this receiver room shakes out, because – depending on who they draft, that could determine the futures of Albert Wilson, of Jakeem Grant, of Alan Hearns. You know, I think we're in agreement of cutting Hearns, keeping Grant, and then we may disagree slightly on Albert Wilson. I don't see why Dolphins fans get that excited about Albert Wilson, to be honest with you.
Because of what he looked like coming into Miami before he got hurt. It's because of the fact that, you know, he basically ran the same route tree, even though he's a different style of player than Jarvis Landry, but got way more separation, you know, that last year in Kansas City. He can move all over the field, and he is a very big fit in that positionless offense I think Miami's moving towards. But if you are trying to move on from Jakeem Grant, a weird later option would be Amir Smith-Marset out of Iowa. He's unpolished completely. He's got speed. He's got maturity issues. He's not physical. He's not huge, but he can play special teams, and he's shown a lot of special moves out there returning punts and kicks. And, you know, he can take the top off of defense while he figures out the rest of it. So that's a maybe. One guy that I really want to dive into, actually two guys I really want to dive into really quick, Jonathan Adams from Arkansas State. He really wasn't much of anything, and then all of a sudden, this past year, he came out. I think he had four games with over 140 receiving yards. He had 12 touchdowns on the year. Did it against some lesser competition, but he also did it against some bigger schools. And he led Arkansas State to an upset as well. And his PFF put out numbers. His stats versus single coverage this season, he had 16 catches of 15 yards or more, 30 first downs and touchdowns, and 20 contested catches. Holy crap. I mean, I think he had 79 receptions, over 1,100 receiving yards. He's somebody that really could translate to a special player that you're going to grab on day three. And then another guy is, if you're looking for yards after the catch, Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State. I'm not going to dive too far into his film on this because I know we're kind of running short on time here. But he put up insane numbers the past couple years. The last 2 years, he had, I think, 140 receptions for over 2,500 yards, 25 touchdowns. Go ahead.
Over the last 2 years, 2019, 72 catches for over 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. 2018, 67 catches for 1,332 yards, 17 touchdowns. I would say with the, he's a very good separator. No doubt about that. He's very productive. I wonder at his size, is he really going to be, is that going to translate well to the NFL? I think he'll go somewhere fourth, fifth round. You look at that Dolphins fifth round pick. If that were Kay Johnson, I don't think that would be a bad pick, because he can separate. That to me is getting open is the most important part of being a wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah. Jonathan Adams too. If you just look on YouTube, there's a complete highlight reel of him just mossing people. Mm-hmm. I was surprised he came in at a little under 6'2", but because he plays much bigger than that size. A few other guys I have my eye on too. Austin Watkins, very smooth separator at his size, at 6'2", 207. Josh Palmer from Tennessee never had over 500 yards receiving, but looked great during Senior Bowl week. Gave Patrick Surtain the second problems too when they played. Tamarian Terry, you mentioned, he's fascinating. He has constant knee problems.
Fascinating.
Yeah. but this is somebody that it ran a 4.47 and looked like a star back in 2019 before he got hurt again. He had almost 1,200 yards receiving for Florida State, has the physical skill set. Tyler Vaughns is somebody who from USC opposite St. Brown. I think he's a little interesting. He plays bigger than his size and his speed indicates. We're only a 4.62, did 7 bench press reps, but kind of springy in and out of routes. He can get some separation too. So in the later rounds, those are players that we would be fascinated in.
Did you say 7 bench press reps?
7.
Like there's not a 1 before it that just got erased by accident?
Brian Mills, the cornerback from NC State, who's at the Senior Bowl, he did 2.
Come on.
So when we get to cornerbacks, I mean, I could roll out of bed drunk and look, you know, do two bench reps at 225. I mean,
if any player does less than 10 bench press reps, I don't see Flores wanting the guy. It's just like it's and this is more for our listeners, but it's just Flores likes guys that work and are dedicated and love football. And you're not doing any of those things if you've hit the weight room so little since your freshman year of high school that you're doing 2 reps at 225 at that point.
Yeah.
If you're 5 foot and a buck 40, he might let you get away with, you know, 7 if you're special in another way. But outside of being a punter, you better throw up some reps. By the way, I apologize, Kat. I have to do this because of Jat Hammer. And using our super chat, yes, Boogie Basham, we love him. So anyway, thank you, Jack.
Yes. Finally, too, let's wrap up here. One name at the tight end spot that's not Kyle Pitts, that
Yeboah.
Kenny Yeboah. Yeah, he's a toolsy guy. I don't see the Dolphins drafting a tight end. They've got 4 on the roster now, unless that guy is Kyle Pitts. Well, Tony Poljan from Virginia played with Charlie Fry before he transferred to Virginia from Central Michigan. So he's somebody, when you look at those 7th round picks, you never know, but I don't see the Dolphins drafting a tight end. So that's going to wrap up tight end, talking about them here today. So anyway, Paul, anything else, any final words here before we wrap up?
Yeah, just real quick on Yeboah. He's a guy I could see Miami grabbing undrafted even and stashing on their practice squad, because he's got the special tools to be potentially the second best tight end in this draft class if he develops. So I could see Miami grabbing him, stashing him on the practice squad, even if they take Kyle Pitts, because Yeboah would be the guy that maybe if they move on from Gesicki, if he can figure it out, and suddenly you've got your 2 tight end set that can still do most of the same things. He's got the ability to do all the things that the top tight ends we've seen over the past couple of years have done. It's just, he's lazy.
He's tools. He's got long arms and everything. I think he's able to be developed, I should say. That's going to do it for a breakdown of the pass catchers here. We're going to get right back at it with the running backs here tomorrow. So be sure to check us out in the evening, 7:30 Central time-ish. And you can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, also FinFanatic.com and the FanSided Network. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick on Twitter. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin Side.